Kaya pinag-aaralan natin ngayon ang isang masasabi nating batayang mga doktrina ng ating iglesia, some of the fundamental distinctives of our church, which is summarized by the acronym TULIP. At sinabi ko na ito ang isang nagpapaliwanag ng konsepto ng biyaya. Evangelicals, as a fundamental distinctive, all believe in salvation by grace. Lahat ng tunay na evangelical, pinaniniwalaan nila ang kaligtasan na hindi sa pamamagitan ng gawa, kundi sa pamamagitan ng biyaya ng Diyos. By believing that, that makes you an evangelical. However, many evangelicals are very shallow in their concepts of grace. Kadaraniwan, kapag biyaya ay sinasalungat lang sa gawa, yun na yun. Parang sinasabi lang nila, ang kaligtasan ko hindi dahil sa aking ginagawa, kundi dahil sa ginawa ng Diyos kay Kristo. So far, so good, but they don't go deeper. And as a result, ang nangyayari ay mababaw na konsepto ng biyaya ng Diyos. Pinapalalim natin yan, at isang paraan ng pagpapalalim dyan ay dun sa konsepto na karaniwan ding tinatawag na Doctrines of Grace, o ito ngang acronym ng TULIP. So, tinignan natin last week, yung letter T, which is total depravity. At sa total depravity ay sinasabi natin yung full extent of sin. Sinasabi natin na ang kasalanan ay apektado yung buong pagkatao. Hindi ibig sabihin yan na wala nang nangyayari sa tao kundi kasalanan. There are degrees even of sin in various men and women. However, we are saying that there is no part of man that is unaffected by sin. Bawat bahagi ng tao may impluwensya ng kasalanan. Isip, damdamin, katawan, etc. At maging yung kalooban, the will, is affected by sin, so that while we believe in free will, it is a free will that is evil. So that's a summary ng total depravity. Ngayon, ang titingnan natin ay itong letter U, which is unconditional election. At dito naman ang pinaka-tinutukoy ay ultimate cause. And by ultimate, we mean the original cause of salvation or saving grace. Yung pinaka-ultimong sanhi ng kaligtasan, ang pinanggalingan niyan, ang pinagbuhatan niyan, ay itong tinatawag natin na unconditional election. So, let us therefore define this by quoting from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, number 20. Itong sinasabi, God having, out of His mere good pleasure from all eternity, elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery, and to bring them in an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. Nang ang Diyos, mula sa mabuti niyang kaluguran, mula sa walang hanggan, ay hinirang ang mabibilang sa buhay na walang hanggan. Pumasok siya sa tipan ng biyaya upang tubusin sila sa kalagayan ng kasalanan at kahirapan upang mailigtas sa pamamagitan ng isang manunubos. So, sa definition na yan, ang pagkaunawa natin ng election ay magiging biblical lamang kung meron tayong paninindigan na tatlong bagay. Election should be conceived as sovereign, soberano, eternal, and for salvation. So walang pwedeng magkulang dyan sa tatlong bagay na yan. Kaya ang sinasabi natin dito ay merong hinirang ang Diyos na kanyang ililigtas, sa kanya nag-umpisa, sa kanya yung kalooban kung sino ang maliligtas. At ang unang dapat nating maintindihan dyan, yung paghihirang na yon o pamimili na iyon ay soberano. It is sovereign. Yan yung point na unconditional. It is not based on conditions He saw in those He has chosen. Hindi ito nakabatay sa mga kalagayan, kondisyon ng mga pinili niya. Kundi yung pagpili niya ay kanyang-kanya lamang. Bakit siya namili ng kanyang mga ililigtas? So it is sovereign. And this is so clear in scriptures. Kung tingnan nyo halimbawa sa Matthew 11:25 and following, dito'y kausap ng Panginoon ang kanyang ama sa isang panalangin. At itong sinabi niya, Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. So meron ditong distinction. Yung tinutukoy ritong prudent and wise, yung mga Pharisees, yung mga scribes, sa kanilang pagmamalaki, sa kanilang karunungan, hindi nila naunawaan yung mga pangangaral ni Jesus. Pero anong paliwanag dito? Well, sinabi rito, it was hidden from them, while itong mga walang pinag-aralan, kung ikukumpara sa antas ng mga Pariseo, itong mga alagad niya, yet you have revealed them to babes. What's the reason? Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Ito yung gusto niya. Ito yung mabuti para sa kanya. Wala itong dahilan doon sa mga bakit sila yung pinagtaguan at walang dahilan doon sa mga pinagpahayagan. It is only because it is good in the sight of God. And then verse 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son wills to reveal him. E mulit-muli, ibinabalik doon sa kalooban ng ama, ng anak, kung sino yung kanilang pinagpahayagan. Why do they know the saving grace of God? It's because God wills to reveal it to them. And from those na hindi pinili, it was hidden. E maliwanag na ito'y sa kalooban ng Diyos. At nandyan din yan sa ating mismong head text in Ephesians 1:4-5, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, before Him in love having predestined us to adoption. So it's God's will. He works all things according to the counsel of His will. Ephesians 1:11. Kaya kung meron tayong ipangdadahilan bakit ligtas ang dahilan at ang sanhi, ay ang soberanong pagpipili ng Diyos. So that means, any explanation of election based on what we are will be unbiblical. Anumang paliwanag ng election na nakabatay sa kung anong meron tayo, kung ano tayo, o anong ginawa natin, ay hindi biblical. It's not based on any condition. So again, turn to an important passage in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, beginning verse 11. Tinutukoy rito si Esau and Jacob. For the children not yet being born or having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of Him who calls. So, verse 13, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, verse 16, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. So, maliwanag na wala dito kay Jacob or Esau, and for that matter, for everyone else. It is not because someone wills or someone runs in terms of effort. Ang paliwanag is because God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. In other words, it comes back to sovereign will. Wala sa kondisyon ng tao. Kaya hindi pwedeng ipaliwanag na kaya pinili ng Diyos si ganito ay dahil may nakita siya na gagawin niya o dahil sa siya'y sasampalataya kaya pinili siya ng Diyos. Yung mga ganung bagay, why we believe, why we repent, why we do good works are looked upon in Scripture as fruit of election, not cause. Bunga sila ng ating pagsampalataya. Kaya sinabi sa Acts 13:48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Hindi those who believed were ordained to eternal life, kundi as many as were ordained to eternal life, they were the ones who believed. Kaya merong paunang pagtatalaga, paunang paghihirang kung kaya tayo sumampalataya. Yan ang paliwanag sa Biblia, paulit-ulit yan. I'm skipping a lot of texts, but they are in your handout. Sana magkaroon kayo ng panahon na pag-aralan yung mga tekstong nakalagay sa inyong handout. I have to skip so many of them, but they all are very clear in telling us why we are chosen. It's not because of anything in us. It's not because of anything that we will do. It is only because God wills. God's sovereign will. God will have mercy on whomever He will have mercy. Now, isang common objection dito theologically ay yung salita na ginamit sa dalawang teksto ng Bagong Tipan. Romans 8:29, for those whom He has foreknown, He also predestined. And then 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. So, itong salitang foreknowledge ang nagiging objection ng marami. Now, ang karaniwan na pag-unawa yan ay those whom God has foreknown means those whom God knew beforehand will believe. Ibig sabihin, kung sino yung alam ng Diyos bago pa na mananampalataya, sila yung hinirang, sila yung pinili. Kung ganyan yung ibig sabihin yan, mangangahulugan na yung election o pagpipili ng Diyos ay batay sa ating pananampalataya, hindi ba? Ibig sabihin, kung sino yung nalaman na ng Diyos una pa man na si ganito ay sasampalataya o pipiliin ko siya. Sa makatuwid, yung pagpili ng Diyos ay batay pa rin dun sa kung sinong nakita niya ay sasampalataya. So ganito naiiwasan itong pagkasoberano ng pagpili ng Diyos. So we need to explain this. And the way to explain this is simply to say, yung special sense ng no. Kung mapapansin niyo itong foreknow, kung yan ay knowledge beforehand, sino dapat yung foreknown? Everybody. God knows beforehand. Everybody. Pero itong foreknowledge, nakatukoy lang doon sa kanyang pipiliin. Kaya, kailan tingnan natin itong salitang no when it is used in a special sense? For example, doon sa Judgment Day, may sinabi ang Panginoon sa mga i-judge niya, ay sinabi niya, I do not know you. Well, in what sense na hindi niya kilala? Eh, siyempre, kilala niya sila kung no simply means awareness. And then, in Amos 3 verse 2, sinabi niya tungkol sa Israel, you only have I known of all the nations of the earth. Eh, paano niya nasabi sa Israel na Israel lang ang kilala niya? Only Israel is known of all the nations of the earth. Bakit hindi ba niya alam ang ibang nations? Well, definitely, yung word na know has a special sense which is more than just awareness. And lalo pang maliwanag ito sa Psalm 1 and verse 6. In Psalm 1 verse 6, sinabi roon, I know the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. And again, the word know has a special sense na hindi pwedeng para sa lahat. He knows the way of the righteous in a way that he does not know the way of the wicked. Well, kung pagsamasamahin natin yung mga teksto na yan, very clearly, the word know has that special sense in the case of God's people of love or regard. So magbe-make sense yung sinabing, Israel, I have known of all the nations of the earth. In what sense? God loved Israel in a way that He did not other nations. At yung, I know the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Again, it makes sense. So yung know dito ay hindi know of awareness. Yung know dito ay know of love, the know of regard. Which means, for know, becomes a prefix itong for, dun sa special sense of know. To foreknow, in the case of the elect, means they were loved beforehand. So in other words, there was a motive to election. The motive of God to election is sovereign love. He loved and then He chose. And that's exactly our text. Sa head text natin, Ephesians 1:5, in love, having predestined us. Kaya foreknowledge should not be understood na God knew beforehand who will believe, and on that basis, He chose them. It simply means that God decided to love those whom He will choose. So He loved them, and then He chose them. So it's not for knowledge of who will believe, but it's God loving beforehand. So there is a love that dictated the choice of God. But it's not because of what we are, it's still because of God's sovereign grace. So, itong una, election is sovereign, and it is in that sense, it is unconditional. And then, it is eternal. Meaning, kailan ito ay eternal. Kapag sinabi nating eternal, kung ito yung time, time has a beginning, creation, and it will have an end, second coming. So, yan yung bracket of time. Yung eternity is that dimension above time. So, eternity past and eternity future. Eh, anong sabi ng text natin, Ephesians 1:4, He has chosen us, kailan? Before the foundation of the world. Which means, before time, before creation. Kaya kailan nangyari yung pagpili ng Diyos? It is His decree in eternity past. At inulit-ulit din yan sa salita ng Diyos, na ito ay nangyari bago pa man nagkaroon ng panahon. Which again means, anuman ang nangyari sa pagliligtas ng Diyos, may mga ginawang kaligtas, gawaing pagliligtas ng Diyos na nangyari sa kasaysayan. So, for example, history and experience. So, anong halimbawa ng saving activities of God in history? Well, the most important is the cross. Nangyari yan sa kasaysayan. Doon sa panahon ng Roman Empire, in the time of Tiberius Caesar, we can place it in an actual time in history. May kaganapan, once and for all. The resurrection is history. So, nangyari din yan sa kasaysayan. Now, pag sinabi natin, saving activity of God in our experience, yung karanasan natin, halimbawa ay regeneration, nang tayo ipanganak na muli. O bago yan, nung marinig natin ang Ebanghelyo, karanasan natin yan, it's a saving activity of God. But what we are saying is that all saving activities of God in history and in experience are rooted in an eternal decree. Hindi ito biglang nangyari na lang, aksidente o swerte tayo, kundi nangyari ang mga bagay na ito dahil pinlano ng Diyos, planado. It was arranged in eternity. So, saving acts in history, saving acts in human experience, yan ay ayon sa pagpapasya ng Diyos. Halimbawa, yun lang karanasan natin. Tingnan nyo sa Titus chapter 1. Titus 1, verses 1 to 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which is according to godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching. Pansinin nyo rito, nilalagay ni Pablo before time began, planado na yan. And yet, how did it come to us? Paano dumating sa atin? Dumating sa atin ng marinig natin ang pangangaral. Isipin nyo yun. It's perhaps a very ordinary thing to you. Umaten ka ng church, nakarinig ka ng preaching, and many others are experiencing that. And to you, it's an ordinary thing. And yet, in the plan of God, eternity, He arranged it that way. Pinlano niya na ganun, makarinig ka. Hindi natin alam kung aling particular na pangangaral. And you do not realize that it was God arranging it. And to me as a preacher, this is a sobering thought. Napaka ng kapanginginig na bagay isipin na kapag ikaw ay nangangaral, maaring may tao dyan na nakikinig sa'yo na inayos ng Diyos na makarinig ng araw na yun upang yung kanyang plano ng pangwalang hanggan ay matupad. And that makes me tremble at the thought. And this is something I tell my students, that whenever you stand before people to preach your best. You prepare your best. Why? Because there may be those people God has arranged in eternity who will hear you, and there you give it a very trivial little time of preparation. Eh, isang bagay ito na dapat malaking motibo sa mga mangangaral, that the hearing of the word is eternally arranged. It comes back to election. So it is eternal in its origin, and then ikatlo, its purpose is salvation. Alam niyo yung mga Armenians at yung iba pa na gumagamit ng Biblia, hindi naman nila maiwasan yung salitang election sa Bible. Talagang nandyan yan. Ano man ang gawin mo, eh, burahin mo na lang kung gusto mo, pero hindi mo maalis na andyan ang election. So they try to give it an explanation that removes the idea of sovereign choice of God of those who He will save. And one way they do that is sinasabi nila, yes, may election, pero hindi yan election sa salvation, na yan ay election either of Israel from among the nations, o sinasabi nila election to ministry. Hindi naman lahat ay hinirang na maging pastor o mangangaral, kundi election to a particular form of service. And you have to reject that explanation, because very clearly, election is unto salvation. Eh, dito na lang sa, again, sa head text natin, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. In love, having predestined us to what? Adoption as sons. Eh, napakaliwanag. Romans 8:29, He predestined, those whom He predestined, He called. Those whom He called, He justified. And those who He justified, those He glorified. These are saving terms. These are terms of salvation. Hindi lang service or Israel as a nation, kundi talagang sinasabi sa atin, yung mga naligtas ay naligtas dahil pinili ng Diyos. Hinirang ng Diyos. Now, ang isang pag-ibahin natin yung purpose, election is purpose. Hindi pa yan yung result. Kinakailangan may result para makarating ka o makabalik ka sa purpose. So, isang halimbawa, sasabihin ng isang tao, kung elect ako, masisave ako. Hintayin na lang natin. Eh, hindi ka pwedeng magdahilan ng ganyan, sapagkat ang pamanhik ng Biblia ay tingnan mo yung resulta. Hindi ka pwedeng mag-assume ng purpose. And because we are here in time, we have to look for the evidence of result. Kaya anong ibig sabihin niyan? From our perspective, dapat mauna sa atin yung result bago tayo makarating sa purpose. Kaya anong sabi sa 2 Peter 1:10? Make sure of your calling and election. Sa perspective natin, una ang calling. Kinakailangan makasiguro tayo doon bago ka mag-assume ng election. Sa perspective ng Panginoon, Romans 8:29, those whom He predestined, those He called. Una yung predestination sa pananaw ng Panginoon. Pero sa ating pananaw, kinakailangan makita yung resulta. Huwag kang mag-assume ng election. Makita dapat sa iyo yung resulta, at ang resulta ay kaligtasan. Open to 1 Thessalonians. Paano mo malalaman ng isang tao ay elect? Etong sabi ni Paul. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 4. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Bay, paano nalaman ni Paul na elect sila? Wala siyang secret access to God's decrees. Paano niya nalaman? Verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, etc. So, ang point niya ay paano tayo nakarating sa purpose ng Panginoon ng election? It's because nakita yung result sa inyo. And that's very important pag tayo nag-usap na sa mga bagay tungkol sa assurance of salvation. Ano yung assurance of salvation? Hindi ka pupunta sa election. Pupunta ka sa resulta dapat ng election, sa isang tunay na nakarinig at tumanggap ng ebanghelyo. So assurance of election is by conversion and the fruits of conversion. Kaya yan ang tamang pananaw para sa Kristiyano na naghahanap ng assurance. Huwag kang mag-iumpisa sa election. Titingnan mo yung ebidensya sa iyo. Ganon din sa mga ngaral. Hindi ako maghahanap kung sinong elect sa mga pinapangaralan ko. Wala akong alam doon. Ang hahanapin ko ay yung resulta ng preaching, ng gospel sa mga nakaririnig. So, hindi pwedeng malito tayo sa bagay na ito. Kaya when we talk of election, ito ang tatlong bagay na ilalagay natin dito. God is sovereign. He chose us because of His own sovereign will and love and mercy. When did it happen? Before the foundation of the world. Kaya walang naka-impluwensya sa Kanya sa panahon. And that election is for salvation. Now, maraming objections dito. I know. Pero i-categorize na lang natin sa dalawang klase ng objection. Yung pinakauna na siguro ay itong palagi nating maririnig, unfair naman. However it is expressed, unjust, unfair, hindi patas, etc. Pero usisain natin yung objection na yan. Pag sinabi mong unfair, ang sinasabi mo ay, to be fair, what God does to one, He should do to all. Kumbaga, nag-a-assume ka ng karapat-dapat. Yun ang tinatawag nating fair. Pag sinabi ko sa iyo, you're being unfair to me, ang ibig sabihin nun ay, I expect something from you as my right. Ngayon, pag meron kang baon at kinain mo, hindi mo ako binigyan, hindi ko sasabing unfair ka. Dahil wala akong karapatan sa baon mo. Ayun ang point na, yun lang may karapatan ako, doon ko masasabi, someone has been unfair to me because it is my right. Well, the question is, do we have the right? Do we have the right na masave ng Panginoon? If there is anything we deserve, it is justice. And if justice were to be exercised by God for all, what justice should serve to us is punishment. That's what you and I deserve. Yun ang karapatan natin. Kaya pag yung isang tao magsasabing hindi patas, hindi fair, ang sinasabi niya ay may karapatan akong iligtas ng Diyos. Eh kung ang karapatan mo, kung yung karapat dapat sa iyo ang talagang ibibigay ng Diyos, lahat tayo dapat parusahan. Yun ang karapat dapat. At diyan ka mag-umpisa. Sa katotohanan, ang karapat dapat sa atin ay parusa ng Diyos. At kung ang hinihingi mo ay hustisya, let God be just. You don't know what you're saying. What you're saying is, let God deal with me according to justice, then God will punish you. That's what you deserve. Yan ang karapat dapat sa atin. Kaya nga kung minsan, nabasa natin kanina, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. At ang sasabihin ng mga tao ay, I don't understand why God should hate Esau. Kung ilagay mo yung headline sa dyaryo, Esau, I have hated God. Magsasalang na agad sa Senado ng impeachment proceedings against God. He has no right to hate Esau. But if you know your sinfulness, what I don't understand, I can very well understand why God should hate Esau. Sino ba si Esau? Mabuti ba siyang tao? Nang dahil sa konting gutom, ipinagbili niya yung kanyang birthright na napaka-sacred sa Old Testament. Pinagbili niya yung kanyang birthright sa anong halaga? Isang merienda ng bulalo ni Jacob. Yun lang. Eh ganito ka-cheap ang taong to. So if you ask me, I can understand why God should hate Esau. What I can never understand is why God should love Jacob. Yun ang amazing. Why should God love Jacob? Who is Jacob? Deceiver. Manggagancho. Pati tatay, niloko.
This is a sinner. And yet God loved Jacob. That's the amazing thing. There's nothing amazing about God hating Esau because he deserves it. But this is the point. This is sovereign love, which is your only hope and mine. Kaya kung nagagalit tayo sa pagkasoberano ng Diyos, iyan nga ang isang ebidensya na hindi natin kinikilalang ang kailangan natin ay biyaya. Kaya Romans 9 tells us, who are you to reply against God? Yung antipathy to the sovereignty of God. Samantalang yung isang nagkaroon ng kababaang loob na nakita niya at natuklasan niya, biyaya lang makapagliligtas sa akin, he glories in the thought. Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and unto him are all things. At ang response doon ay, to him be glory. Ang isang nakakaalam na biyaya lang ang makapagliligtas, hindi siya mag-object sa pagkasoberano ng Diyos. Ikalawang objection ay nandun sa mas theological, ang sinasabi nila, eh di ba sinabi natin last week o dun sa last month na pag-aaral natin, we invite all sinners to come to Christ. Narinig nyo sa mensahe sa pulpito, inaayayahan natin ng lahat kahit hindi natin kilala. I sometimes even invite those who hear the radio message na mangyayari pa lamang, kung nag-aanyaya tayo sa lahat, tapos sinabi natin na pinili na ng Diyos yung kanyang ililigtas, paano natin masasabi na yung paanyaya ay sincere? Adyan, papasok tayo muli sa hamon sa tinatawag na biblical fidelity, yung pagkamatapat sa Biblia, sa halip na yung lohika. Yung magpapaira ng logic, ganitong sasabihin nila, kapag siya ay hyper-Calvinist, ang sasabihin niya ay hindi pwede anyayahan lahat sapagkat naniniwala tayo sa election. So if we believe in election, we cannot invite all. So anong gagawin nila? They will only invite those who show evidences of election. Kaya yung tinatawag nilang conviction of sin, yun lamang kanilang anyayahan. And that's logic. Sa kabilang panig, yung Arminian, ang kanyang sasabihin ay logic din. Kung anyayahan natin ng lahat at dapat talagang anyayahan ng lahat, huwag tayong maniwala sa sovereign election. Yung election ay for knowledge or hindi sa salvation. So, makikita natin both ways are pinaiira logic. Yung sabi ng hyper-Calvinist, it's either or. And I prefer election. So, I don't want universal invitation. Sabi ng Arminian, logic. I prefer universal invitation, so I reject election. This is biblical fidelity. Does the Bible teach sovereign election? Yes, I hope I have shown it. But does the Bible also teach universal invitation? Ibig sabihin, inaanyayahan ng lahat? Yes. Acts 17 verse 30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Eh, lahat daw. Kaya I can go to anyone and I can tell him, God is commanding you to repent. Which means, God is commanding you to come to Christ. I can invite anyone. For the simple reason, ang paliwanag ay ganito, ang paanyaya ay hindi bilang ikaw ay elect. Ang paanyaya ay bilang ikaw ay makasalanan. The invitation is to men and women as sinners, not as elect. So I can come to any person who I know to be a sinner and I can tell him, God wants you to be saved. God wants you to come to Christ. And I mean it sincerely. I mean it in a real sense. At ang Diyos mismo nagsabi niyan. Sabi sa Ezekiel 33, ang sabi niya, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked who dies in sin, but that he should repent and live. Ngayon, tanungin natin sarili natin, kapag ang isang tao ay namatay sa kanyang kasalanan, ano siya in terms of God's decree? Hindi siya elect. Diba? Namatay siya sa kasalanan niya. And yet, God Himself is saying, I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies in sin, but that he should repent and live. So even the non-elect, God is saying, He wants him to be saved. And therefore, biblical fidelity means tanggapin natin pareho. sovereign election, and yet the sincerity of God inviting all to come to Christ. So kung susumahin natin yung practical application nito ay, kung tayo naligtas, ang sanhi ay ang biyaya ng paghihirang ng Diyos. The cause is God's sovereign election. And that means it gives all the glory to God for salvation. Yung hamon nga ni Pablo in 1 Corinthians 4:7 is, what do you have that you have not received? What distinguishes you from others? What differs you from another? Anong kinaiba mo? Ano bang meron ka na hindi mo tinanggap? Ang punto niya, kung ikaw man ay ligtas, hindi dahil sa iba ka, kundi dahil binigyan ka ng Diyos. It's not because of who you are, but it is because of what God has given. And that means, pagdating sa ating paghahanap ng mga ililigtas ng Diyos, which means evangelism cannot be made to depend on human ability. Yung mga methods of evangelism ngayon ay naka-orient sa kaya ng tao. Alam niyo, pag sinabi na, o itaas mo lang ang iyong kamay, mag-forward ka sa harap, umulit ka ng aking panalangin, at kapag nagawa mo yun na ang kaligtasan, it all orients to human ability, which is not biblical evangelism. Kung alam natin ito'y galing sa Diyos, sanhi ng biyaya ng Diyos, ipapaubaya natin sa biyaya ng Diyos yung mga ililigtas sa pangangaral ng Ebanghelyo. But also it means na church mission, yung misyon ng iglesia, ay may garantiya ng tagumpay dahil ito'y nakabatay sa layunin ng Diyos. We are not in a losing errand. We are in a victor's march as far as the church is concerned. Huwag tayong dapat parang may saloobin ng talunan na palagi na lang walang mangyayari. Hindi ganun ang gawain ng iglesia. Ang gawain ng iglesia, sabi ni Paul, even when he was in prison and already sentenced to die, yet his note was triumphant in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Anong sabi niya? I endure all things for the sake of what? The elect. Dahil sa garantiya ng election ng Panginoon, kaya kong tiisin ang lahat. At ganun tayo dapat bilang iglesia sa mga gawain natin. Why should we faithfully preach? Why should we faithfully maintain our ministries of circulating the gospel through preaching, through radio, through tracts, through website, and all these other means? Because we believe that we are in a victor's march. Why? Not because of who we are, but because of God's purpose. God's purpose will be maintained. Yan sa scripture reading natin kanina. Hirap na hirap si Pablo dun sa Corinto. Pero paano siya inassure ng Panginoon? Ang sabi sa kanya, I have a lot of people in this city. Hindi pa nangyayari, wala pang naliligtas. Pero ang garantiya ng Panginoon sa kanya, may mga tao ako rito. Kaya't nagpatuloy rin si Pablo 1.5 years sa pangangaral, sa garantiya ng Panginoon na may mga tao siya doon. And that's the guarantee of success for the mission of the church. Kaya isang pinantututol kung minsan, ba't pa tayo mag-i-evangelize kung may inelect na ang Panginoon? Ang hamon ko sa mga ito ay, look at history. Sino sa kasaysayan ang mga nag-umpisa ng misyon? William Carey going to India. David Brainerd to the Indians. Adoniram Judson to Burma. Hudson Taylor to China. All these people who were zealous and on fire for mission and evangelism were all believers in TULIP. They were all believers in the sovereign grace of God. And it did not deter them from mission. Ang nakalulungkot ngayon, yung mga naniniwala dito in an unbalanced way, nagiging malamig sa evangelism. Hindi po dapat ganoon. Kaya gawin natin ito, dapat magpaalab sa ating damdamin at katapatan
sa ating Diyos. So let us refresh and recover the God-centeredness of saving grace. Minsan may nakausap ako na a young person, and he was so fiery and militant against the doctrine of election. And I thought, rather than debating with him, I gave him passages to study and meditate upon. And just a few passages. And then the next time he came back to me, he was in tears. He gloried in the thought of election. And he realized there was no other hope than the grace of God. And that should be our attitude sa doktrina na ito. We should glory in it. We should give the glory to God for His grace dahil sa kanyang paghihirang. Kaya, I don't take this doctrine like a label. I don't take this doctrine like a distinguishing mark. I'm a believer in Tulip, you're not. I look at this doctrine in a very personal way. That I'm a sinner, deserving of nothing from God, and yet in His abundant grace, He reached out to me and chose me for no reason in me, but only because of His sovereign grace. And in that sense, I glory in the thought of sovereign grace. Kaya nga, I'll do something different. I will sing, but you will sing with me. Meron tayong awitin dyan sa ating handout. Before we go to our open forum, there's this contemporary hymn, but I believe its words are to the point tungkol sa bagay na ito. Why have you chosen me? Sabi niya, why have you chosen me out of millions, your child to be? You know all the wrongs that I've done, and oh, how could you pardon me, forgive my iniquities? To save me, give Jesus, your Son. So, awitin natin ito na let's feel the utter graciousness of God in choosing us and in saving us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, any question? Raise your hand and you'll have a mic. Meron kayong tanong or maybe your experience what finally convinced you of this understandably unpalatable doctrine but biblical. Jojo.
Question po ito ng mga bata, Pastor. Sige. Ito po yung question. Why does God love the Jews more than any nation?
Well, in the Old Testament, they were chosen as a chosen nation. It was God's prerogative to choose which nation to use, and He chose Israel. And as He explained doon sa Deuteronomy chapter 7, it was not because Israel was greater than other nations. In fact, in terms of greatness, Israel was inferior. Yun ang paliwanag sa Deuteronomy 7:7. But, sabi ng Panginoon, I loved you. Meaning, as an act of sovereign will. Yun ang nag-distinguish sa Israel doon sa Old Testament. Pero, tandaan natin, yung purpose ng Panginoon sa pagpili sa Israel, yung pagtawag niya kay Abraham in Genesis 12, was, in you I will bless all the families of the earth. So hindi nagpatuloy na Israel lang, kundi pagdating ng Panginoong Jesucristo, ay ikinalat na yan sa buong mundo. Kaya hindi na totoo na yung Israel ngayon ay natatangi pa rin bansa compared to other nations, because the mandate of evangelism is now for all nations. Yun ay pansamantalang arrangement para sa Israel. Other questions or any thought you'd like to share? Oh, may question pa rin.
Pero pa po, Pastor. Siguro curious lang to. Ito po yung next question. Can God give mercy to angels?
Angels don't need mercy in the sense of sinners. Pero may sinabi sa 1 Timothy 5:21, may tinukoy na elect angels. Remember, there are fallen angels. When angels fell into sin,
sa pangunguna ni Lucifer, wala na silang pag-asa. Hindi na sila bibigyan ng kahabagan. In other words, there is no redemption for fallen angels as there is for fallen man. For fallen angels, walang mercy. For elect angels, they don't need mercy. So mercy applies to sinners like you and me. Kaya yung mercy ng Panginoon ay nakaalok para sa lahat sa atin, para sa mga makasalanan. Other questions or any thought you'd like to share? Tess?
Yun pong napakahalagang doctrine. Ho. Personally, share ko lang yung nangyari sa akin kung paano ko ito natanggap. I have been a Bible reader for 2.5 years bago ako naging Christian. At masasabi ko na parati ko nang nababasa yung mga verses kagaya ng He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in loving, having predestined us to adoption. Hindi ko naman masasabi na ako'y bobo, pero hindi talaga maintindihan. But God used the ministry ng preaching dito sa church nung bago pa lang kami. At saka yung pagbukas ng Panginoon ng Espiritu sa parang sa mind, personally, sa akin. Parang biglang, bakit bigla na lang nagliwanag at naintindihan ko? Parang ganun. So it's humbling. Masasabi ko na purihin ang Panginoon dahil hindi sa ako'y matalino dahil wala ako noon. Meron man pero hindi talaga mo makikita hanggat hindi ang Panginoon ang magbibigay ng sa'yo.
Okay, thank you. Totoo yun na mga matatalinong tao, hindi nila matanggap ang doktrina na ito kahit andyan na, nasa page na. Kung minsan, I try to explain and it's not that the words are not plain. It's simply pride rejects it. And it's something that it takes the Holy Spirit na maipakita at maipaliwanag sa atin. Other thoughts, questions? Annie?
Actually po, parang dugtong lang po sa sinabi ni Ate Tess na ako po, as a person, matagal na akong nagbabasa din ng Bible, but hindi ko siya masyadong maintindihan. So, for so long, I tried to, yung nag-attend ako ng Bible study sa mga Christians, but then parang kulang pa rin, hindi ko siya na masyadong naintindihan kasi nga parang iba-iba yung approach nila sa pagba-Bible study. And then, yun nga po, nung nag-start po kami dito ng mga anak ko na mag-attend ng church dito po sa inyo, medyo unti-unti na pong lumiliwanag na po yung maraming questions sa akin regarding po sa Bible po at sa yung mga doctrines po sa tungkol kay God po. Thank you po. At sana po patuloy pa po madadagdagan pa rin po yung kaalaman po namin. Kasi sa ngayon parang nangangapa po ako eh. As a mother, gusto kong sa mga anak ko yung tungkol kay Lord. Pero kulang na kulang po. So, pinipilit ko sila na umating kami ng every Sunday kasi para po magdagdagan po yung kaalaman po namin. Yes. Thank you po, Pastor. Yes. Dahil somehow po na tutugunan niyo po yung need po namin.
Yeah, thank you, Annie, and that's very encouraging to hear. At gusto ko rin sabihin na sinasama namin kayo sa aming mga panalangin. Other thoughts, questions? Mayla?
Narinig ko po kanina yung sinabi nyo na sa preachers, tinuturo nyo sa kanila na parang ito pa yung encouragement sa kanila para lalong paghandaan ang kanilang pagtuturo. So I take this as applicable din sa mga nagtuturo ng nagba-Bible study.
Yeah.
Paano naman po namin i-apply itong same doctrine na ito pag parang ang haba-haba na ng Bible study, ang tagal mo ng tinuturuan, tapos wala pa rin positive na response. Pwede bang hugasan na yung kamay at sabihin, ay, hindi ka elect. Tapusin na natin, napapagod na ako. Parang ganoon, enough na.
No, we have to distinguish between unresponsiveness and rejection. Yung rejection ay yung talagang nagsabi na ayoko militantly at nilalabanan yung mensahe at maaring
dumating ka sa punto na mas magagamit mo yung oras mo doon sa iba, because Titus 3 verse 10 tells us that yung taong nagre-reject after first and second admonition, you reject. There comes a point when you have to stop a ministry to a person who is rejecting that ministry. Dumating si Paul sa ganyan. At si Silas, dun sa point ng mga Jews, ayaw nila, they went to the Gentiles. So, we have to distinguish. Yung tao naman na hindi pa nagre-respond, pero willing pa rin makinig, I think, as long as willing siya makinig, at walang outright rejection, I think, pwede mong ituloy, because makikita natin sa Thessalonica, Paul spent 3 years in Corinth, 1.5 years. So, I think kung isang taon tinutukoy natin na binibias natin, who knows what time? There are those of you here, there are members here who have been for so long attending, pinagpipray natin at matagal na walang response, and yet at a certain point, nag-respond. Yung tatay ko, ang tagal kong pinagtiyagaan, kuminsan ma-insulto, pero dumating sa punto na nagulat pa ako when I heard na nagpasakop na siya sa ebanghelyo at nagpabautismo. So the point is, you never know when God will make the word effective. And that's precisely yung when we come to irresistible grace or effectual calling, dyan lalo applicable ang usapin na ito. There may be a period of resistance, but you never know when grace will become irresistible.
Pastor, are we committing a sin, or are we being antipathic, wherein there are times na we flashes sa thoughts namin, especially when we see deprived people. And like kami mag-asawa, nakita namin, sabi nga namin, Lord, why did you create these people only to suffer? Meaning, especially mga bata. It doesn't mean na kine-question namin yung sovereignty ng God. But, yun nga, are we being antipathic or are we sinning when that kind of question flashes in our minds?
Well, there's nothing wrong with feeling distressed by suffering and evil. Yung sight ng paghihirap, kasamaan, at na di-distress ka doon, walang mali doon. In fact, it is right. It is a demonstration of sympathy, of a tender spirit, kapag ikaw ay nakakadama ng ganun. But we must be careful not to turn it into blaming God. Why these people are suffering, it's not because God made them suffer. Suffering is because there is injustice and oppression in this world. Mamaya, maririnig natin yan sa Ecclesiastes. Yung sinabi ng Ecclesiastes, oh, the tears of the oppressed. Talagang nadidistress siya sa luha ng mga nahaapi. And it's a reality. But we must not turn it into blaming of God. We believe in God's sovereignty. Things don't happen unless it is permitted by God. But things are what they are in sin because of human sin. And things are what they are in suffering because of human injustice. So let's be distressed by it, but be careful not to turn it into a blaming of God. Other questions? Jim.
Pastor, yung implication lang sa akin as an individual believer nung teaching of the unconditional election is in terms of support to mission work.
Yeah.
Na it encourages support to church mission, our own church, and the other reform circles mission, but also other mission work where that reach attempts or aspires to reach yung mga people that cannot be reached by our church mission. So marami kasi yun eh, mga mission work that devotes itself to reaching the unreached.
Oh, exactly. Isang practical encouragement yun sa atin, because of God's election, but remember, dinistinguish ko yung purpose and result. The purpose is election, the result is conversion. Between the purpose and the result is mission. That's why we need to be very supportive of mission. Kaya yung ating church, malaking ginugugol natin, time and budget are may kinalaman sa mission, evangelistic mission. Whether evangelism sa ating lugar,
mission sa ibang lugar? Why do we spend so much time and resources sa mga bagay na yon? We believe in God's purpose, and that purpose must be fulfilled. And for that purpose to be fulfilled, He assigned you and me. Can you imagine? We should feel dignified by the very thought we are participating in the purpose of God. Huwag natin isipin na parang nagkakautang sa atin ng Diyos na ginagawa natin yung magkakaroon ng mga converts. Magkakaroon ng converts whether we participate or not, because God can use other means. We should find it dignifying that we should have a time, we could spend money, we could spend our resources for the fulfillment of the purpose of God. Kaya kung ano yung masusupport natin, mag-google natin, gawin natin in recognition na we are fulfilling the purpose of God. Kaya nga yung sinabi ko kanina, yung mga naunang, yung mga pioneer missionaries, they were believers in election. So rather than election dampening, as some allege, yung evangelistic fire, the opposite was the result in the past. So ganun din sa ating individual efforts, sa family mo, huwag kang magkampante na, ay, kung elect, kung sinong elect yan, masisave yan. Ang dapat na result ay, kung may ninanais ng Panginoon na sila ay maligtas, at kung merong elect sa kanila, gusto kong akong maging kasangkapan para sa kanilang kaligtasan. So you should rather be fiery for evangelism rather than be pabayaan na lang sa kung ano mangyayari. Are thoughts, questions? Nor.
Pastor, yung justification by faith is actually a very glorious doctrine. Pero yung kagaya nung binabanggit mo nga kanina sa mga estudyante nyo, nung maunawaan nila yung election, halos maiyak sila at ma-enrapture sila because it yung doctrine of election intensify and pinapaganda niya ang kulay ng justification by faith. So, yun ang napakaganda dun sa election. It depends your understanding of the grace of God.
Oh yes, definitely. And all other blessings of salvation are intensified, yung kanilang graciousness, because of election. At ito naman ang nawawala doon sa hindi naniniwala sa election. I don't deny that they may be saved. Sinabi na natin yan last time. We don't deny the possibility of salvation even of those who deny tulip. Pero nawawala yung intensification of the graciousness of God if you do not believe that the root of it is God's sovereign choice. Yung inaawit natin kanina, chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side by the Spirit, sanctified. At ang laging sinasabi ay, how much we owe. And that will be the result when you believe that the root, the fountainhead of all the blessings of salvation is because of God's sovereign choice. Other thoughts, Myla?
Dalawang bagay po, Pastor. Yung una, gusto ko lang i-share. Kasi sa Nigeria, meron kaming Bible study sa maraming bata. Minsan umaabot ng mga 20. Yung mga bata, iba-ibang kulay.
Talaga.
At saka, yung iba doon ay alam na alam nila yung Bible. Kasi marami sa Nigeria, mga Kristiyano daw. Ang nakakalungkot lang ay marami sa kanila alam nila yung Bible, pero walang application. Yung iba naman, extreme, talagang hindi pa nila narinig yung Bible. Tapos mahal na mahal ko itong mga batang to, itong grupong ito. Kaya kahit nung mabigat na yung tiyan ko, ang panalangin ko sa Lord kasi meron akong lesson plan. At hindi ko naman alam na uuwi na kami kaagad for good. Kaya ang panalangin ko sa Panginoon noon, Lord, sana kung pwede matapos ko yung lesson plan. Which ang nangyari, hindi ko talaga natapos. Pero na maximize ko yung time such that nung malapit na akong manganak, bakasyon yung mga bata, halos ilang beses sa isang linggo nagpa-Bible study kami. Ganun yung pagbibigay ko nung time at saka panulangin dun sa grupo na saka sa mga bata. At nagulat yung mga magulang na nalulungkot nung aalis na kami, na parang masyado naman akong at peace nung paalis na kami. Parang irony yata na mahal na mahal ko yung grupo, pero nung aalis na ako, masyado akong at peace, hindi ako nag-worry. So doon ko din na-appreciate na yun pala yung effect ng ganitong doctrine. sige-sige yung pagtatrabaho mo, ang irony kasi nung pinipilit kong mag-Bible study pa kahit mabigat na yung tiyan ko, delikadong abutin ako ng labor sa bahay kasi hindi namin mag-predict ang traffic papunta dun sa pag-aanakan ko. Pero binabanat ko na Bible study pa kung pwede, gano'n. Tapos worry na worry yung mga parents, sino daw magpapatuloy nung Bible study. So sabi ko, ang Panginoon ang bahala. At nung nagpe-pray kami ng mga bata nung last Bible studies namin, sabi ko sa kanila, ang Panginoon ang bahalang gumawa sa inyo at dinadalangin ko na sana magkita-kita tayo sa heaven. Yung mga bata, nalalaki yung mga mata nila. Ganun ka, payapa yung loob ko. Yung pangalawa, Pastor, yung tanong ko, sabi ni Ike doon na di-distress ang tao kay Kristiyano, kay hindi, pag una nilang narinig tong doctrine na to. Anong advice mo doon sa mga nagba-Bible study? Kailan ba dapat ituro ito? Dapat bang ituro? Dapat bang itago muna? Huwag munang ituro hanggang mature na yung Kristiyano para huwag silang madisgusto or madistress pag nalaman nilang ganito pala yung doktrina.
Okay. Pwede mo pa rin ituloy yung lesson plan mo dito. Pare-pareho lang ang kulay. Doon sa kailan ituturo ang election, here we need to be very wise. What we need to teach unbelievers ay gospel. And as we have said before, hindi kailangan ang doktrina na ito sa gospel. What gospel they need to know is about sin, the law, and Christ, and the cross. Yung point ni Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him as crucified. So uminog ka doon sa marami kang magagamit na usapin dyan. Pero on the other hand, hindi ko ito itatago in the sense na kapag nadaanan, let's say sa isang passage na nagamit o kaya'y magtanong siya, hindi ko itatago yung usapin ng doctrines of grace including election. But in order to be wise, this is not the first thing needed by an unbeliever. Last point. And the last thought, Mel.
Kasi meron kaming Bible stories every night and we have series. So, nandun kami sa Genesis. Ang question nito kanina, bakit kasi kailangan pang magkasala si Adam at saka si Eve? Bakit hindi pinigilan ni God yun? So, I'd like you to answer that for him.
Hindi kailangan, kundi malaya sila. When God created Adam and Eve, Adam in particular, kasi siya yung representative ng mankind, when God created Adam, he was created holy but fallible. So, banal pero pwedeng magbago. At meron siyang kalayaan na magpasya dun sa kanyang kalagayan. At ang nangyari nga, binigyan siya ng probation and during the probation, nagkasala siya. Ganito rin si Christ. Kaya nga dalawang Adam. First Adam, si Adam, the second and last Adam, Christ. Because they were the two representatives. Si Christ din, binigyan ng probation, and he succeeded. Adam was given a probation, and he failed. And with his failure, he dragged mankind with him. With Christ's success, he imputed his righteousness to all God's chosen ones. Kaya napakaganda, napaka-wise ng ginawa ng Panginoon na we are represented by two representative heads. Yung mga magsasabi, bakit ka lang may mag-represent sa akin? Ako na lang. Alam niyo, hindi alam ng mga nagsasabi ng ganyan yung sinasabi nila. Kapag sinabi mo na, let God deal with me, not with a representative, you are saying, one sin, isang kasalanan mo, tapos ka na. You're damned forever. You have no hope. Because you stood for yourself. Whereas, in our case, we are sinners, yet we have hope because there is another Adam. There is another representative. Kaya the only hope of sinners is that there is Christ. There is another Adam. Without Him, you and I have no hope. So again, I glory in that thought na our hope is in the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Ibinabalik namin sa iyo, Panginoon, ang pasasalamat sa pinag-aralan namin ngayon na talagang sanhi ng biyaya ay hindi ang anumang bagay na nasa amin, hindi ang anumang bagay na ginawa namin, kundi tanging na kay Hesus Kristo lamang at sa iyong soberanong kalooban at biyaya. Help us, Lord, to glory in this thought rather than have a sense of antipathy to your grace and to your sovereignty. May we realize that, in fact, it is our only hope. We are all sinners, and if we insist on what we deserve, if we insist on fairness and on justice, it is damnation that we all deserve. But in your graciousness, you have been merciful to those to whom you will have mercy. And if we have been reached by your mercy, it is not that we deserve it. And so we ask, Lord, that we would glory in this thought and that we would truly trace back to your sovereign grace whatever blessing of salvation we enjoy in Jesus Christ. So we glorify you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.